What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Jilly is back from being sick. Hey, Jilly.
Hello.
As her and I were just joking about beforehand, she is so excited about this episode.
Me.
All right.
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I told you. I literally just woke up.
30 minutes ago?
No, less than, like about 20 minutes ago. Not because I'm hungover, but just it was a long weekend because, you know, Halloween parties. And I just slept maybe like 3 hours. And I have the magical ability to rarely ever get a hangover, which is very handy. But I was just tired. I went to Chicago. So I drove back. And then I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to take a nap. And then I meet up at the time that we're supposed to. And Mr. Josh here isn't ready yet. And so I was like, all right. And I lean my head back. And then I'm getting a phone call like, hey, where'd you go?
Let's make Jillian's weekend.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
For this week, huh?
Well, okay, the weekend wasn't the dumbest thing. I had a blasty. If you guys have seen 80s Dan on the Snob site, I went as Sexy Captain and the Game Master.
Sexy indeed.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, no, I mean, it's female version. It's not, I'm not being self-righteous by saying, oh, I was sexy. It was more so like, you know, the costumes. We've got like sexy Chucky from Child's Play, sexy Optimus Prime. So I made my own sexy Captain N costume. The dumbest thing would be the insane amounts of alcohol I have to consume to get a good buzz going. And I've always half joked about being like Marion from Raiders. I don't know. Sometimes I can get there quick, but by God. Okay. I'm like Marty McFly when it comes to drinking sometimes where someone's like, I dare you to chug it. I have to do it. They did that to me like 5 times with like those giant ass red cups. And I was not skimping on the alcohol level. They were more Captain than Coke sometimes.
Are we getting into alcohol poisoning levels here?
No, I don't know. The people that usually go to the parties that bring like the breathalyzer for funsies actually weren't there this year. We don't really know what everybody was at, but no, I was just down and stuff. There was this devil's punch thing that apparently if I chugged it, I was supposed to be out within 5 or 10 minutes. Or like, if you chug that, you're going to pass out. It was like 2 hours before I actually like went to sleep. Pumpkin pudding pie shots are delicious, by the way, kind of like a Jello shot, but a pudding consistency. Huge ass table just full of liquor, and I'm grabbing all these different flavors, just pouring them in, and I'm like, hey, this is good, try this. All right, let's do this. Not to sound like an alcoholic, I mean, honestly, I was drinking so much because I wasn't getting drunk, and people were like, how are you not drunk? Here, take another shot. I'm like, dude, I've had blah, blah, blah. And so we got back, and then shortly after we got back, it kind of started to hit me, not to where I was falling over or anything like that. It was just one of those like, all right, sleepy train now.
So but like
I'm just like, God,
delayed.
If we were at a bar, do you know how much money I fucking would have spent if I was at a bar drinking instead of at a house party? So that is the dumbest thing. My stupid genetic heritage / tolerance / Marion-esque from Raiders of the Lost Darkness.
Do you think all the alcohol was getting stored in your rather large Hooters and that's why it wasn't going to your brain?
Now that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just a theory. It's a theory.
Is an incorrect theory, sir. On with the show. No, I totally made myself sound like an alcoholic now. No, like, honestly, I didn't even get that wasted. You know, would explain why I didn't like chance the hangover. But no, I can be passing out drunk like I'm really, you know, like, okay, you've had enough type thing sometimes. And I don't really get hangovers. I'll be the first one up at like 5 in the morning. Be like, hey, guys, how are you? I hate you. Yeah.
Did you do anything with a BlackBerry or an iPhone while you were all getting drunk in Chicago for Halloween?
I was texting some people's on my iPhone.
Apparently, according to CBSNews.com, there's a secret shame about people that don't have iPhones.
We have a secret handshake and everything that you can only have if you have an iPhone, and then you're in the club. So, I mean, it's this huge, culty, underground thing. It's pretty crazy.
Exclusionist wench?
Yeah.
Because what this comes down to is CBS News did a report referring to a New York Times article, so we're getting meta in here already, about the new secret shame of people that only have BlackBerries. That this one woman told the New York Times she's ashamed and humiliated to pull it out at parties when everyone else has their iPhone.
Boo-hoo.
Or there was another person that they didn't say what company they worked for, but they worked in the upscale client field And they always hide their BlackBerry behind something because they're afraid if their client sees that they have a BlackBerry and not an iPhone, that they may lose the account. This is fucking ridiculous.
I mean, and it sounds like with this article, because you had just sent this to me, I'm like, yeah, send it to me. All right, I'll look at it. And luckily it was short. It's not the news saying, you know, for shame. It's just, I apologize if you feel this way, but dumbass people who are just self-guilting themselves because they don't have a toy that they want. I don't think that there's any instances of clients being like, oh, that's a BlackBerry. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go over meow with our account. I mean, it's literally just kind of people shame. It sounds like high school shit. I mean, that's the stuff you did in high school where you're like, well, mom, I have to get a 5-star Trapper Keeper. I can't get one of the regular ones. And it was like, you know, the kids in school that had the pimped out school supplies, or, you know, I went to a private school, and so you had uniforms, and so it was all about, like, shoes and hair accessories with the girls. Like, I mean, that's honestly what it sounds like, and I just think that's ridiculous as an adult. Like, really?
Yeah,
like, what douchebag? Maybe
age.
They're friends. I bet they're just really insecure, and maybe their friends who have iPhones are like, blah, 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 and then they're all butthurt. I mean, this is almost should have been dumbest thing. It's ridiculous.
Jilly, it even goes back to, I remember when I was in middle school, and you're younger than me, so you probably would be the next generation up from what I'm going to bring up. But I remember if you didn't have a Nintendo and you had a Sega Master System, you were just shamed on the schoolyard. You don't have a Nintendo? You play Sega? Don't even look at me, scum.
I had a Nintendo as soon as it came out. So. No, in our circles of friends, though, I mean, I'm sure a lot of things are regional as well, but it was more so you loved it when your friends had a different game system, because it was like, oh, well, we've got the N64, well, we've got a PS1. Be like, sweet, let's, you know, bring it over, because back then it was a lot easier to bring over game systems. You just had, you know, the coaxial.
You should just pull it out and bring it over.
Pretty much. You didn't have to worry about, like, hard drives and disk spaces. It's like, all right, I'm going to throw the N64 in my backpack. And so, I mean, at least in the areas that I grew up in, there wasn't really any bullying about that per se. I mean, there was a lot of bullying, but I never saw bullying over game systems. And then, of course, when you get older, it was like when you had to make that pivotal choice between Xbox or PlayStation, that's when the North divided from the South.
To my generation, it was the Sega Genesis or the Super Nintendo. That was the divide. You're either a Super or you're a Sega. You were rarely both.
Well, I do want to establish I am the middle child of three children, so we would get game systems when they would come out because they always came out around the holidays, and that would literally be all three of our Christmas presents, you know, at the same time. So it was like a Nintendo we would get for Christmas, and it was just for all three of us, and we get like clothes and shit we need because, you know, we're kids. So I don't want to come off and be like, oh, I had everything. As soon as it came out, I was like, you know, being with three kids, our parents would be like, okay, the new game system's coming out. Let's get that for them. And three kids are expensive, so game system kind of evens out.
Exactly. But this also comes down to if your friends are going to look down on you because you don't have, what is an iPhone now? $400? $500? Am I in the ballpark?
I don't know, and I'm sure you can go to places and get, like, the downgraded ones or whatever.
Let's just say $400. Because you can't afford to spend the $400 on that, you're somehow, like, a lower piece of life. I remember when I'm not ashamed to admit this, when I first got the internet back in 1997, I had web TV. I'm going to be surprised if anyone listeners even remember web TV.
I don't know what the fuck web TV is.
Web TV was a $150 computer that you hooked up to your TV, and you could surf the internet, send emails, things like that, just using a wireless keyboard on your TV. And people would go, oh, you can't even afford a computer. What are you doing on this forum posting from a web TV address? And I was looking at it as, okay, the web TV is $150, and I can go to all the same websites and send my email. Or a computer is $1,500. What is more in my budget to do this? And people would look down on you because you didn't have money.
You should email all those people today and be like, so are you posting stuff online from your PS3? I was doing before it was cool.
You know, what it comes down to is it's just this social shaming. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that idiotic meme that I think really takes things out of proportion, but in this case is apt, that whole first world problems thing.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like them either because you know, a lot of times they're literally comparing a grape to a watermelon. You know, they're comparing, you know, the deaths in Rwanda to not being able to get the new Nintendo Wii game right away. And it's like, those aren't comparable things. They're not.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like when if you're venting your problems or something and you've got some drama or what have you going on and you say, you know, blah, 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 and you're telling your friend, they're like, well, it could be worse, or at least blah, 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 or there's people with more problems, you know, there's people worse off than you are. Parents are good at that too. Like, there's people worse off than you are. Stop complaining. And it's like, yeah, I realize I'm not homeless. Things could be really, really bad. But especially if you have certain medical problems or just what have you, it's like, it affects you personally. You're not saying that, oh my God, I have literally the worst luck in the world and my life is completely horrible. Like, there's nobody who has it worse than I do. You're not saying that when you vent things, and people with those, you know, blow up answers is like, I realize that. However, you know, when things are important to you, you can apply that with anything. It's like somebody dies and you're like, well, in Africa, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, it's not comparative, you know?
Jillian,
if you're sitting there and you're like, I just found out blah, blah, blah from my doctor. I'm really scared. And then somebody at the table one-ups would be like, well, my mom, blah, 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 with like worse medical problems. It doesn't mean like, okay, let's say if you have cancer and you tell somebody you have cancer and it's like, well, there's people who have AIDS and you can't cure AIDS. So at least, you know, I mean, that's.
There's always someone that has to say, there's always someone that has to try and one up you with their story. And I went to school with a few of those people. You know, you'd have a story that, you know, was true. Like, maybe you had photographs to back it up. Maybe you got chased away by the cops or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, there was that time I got in a fight with four cops and it took five of them motherfuckers, five more to take me down. And, you know, it's always one of those, I got to tell a better story than you. Oh, your mom's got cancer? My mom's got AIDS. That's what it is. It's this society of always having to feel superior to the person that you're with. And that's what this iPhone BlackBerry thing is. I remember when Obama got into office, so not even 4 years ago, one of the things that people were joking about is that Obama was still using a BlackBerry. How does the president not have an iPhone? What the fuck? If he can get his job done with a BlackBerry, who gives a shit?
I know. It's like, you know, BlackBerries are very good for business. I don't have a BlackBerry because it doesn't suit my needs. iPhones, yeah, you do email. You can do the same from a BlackBerry. iPhones, it's like, oh, there's, you know, fun apps and there's businessy apps and things like that. But to each their own. That's like saying with computers. There's certain computers that are better for what you need them for. Different graphics cards, different processors. You wouldn't get the same computer if you are, you know, mainly, say, a writer and doesn't do anything with video. You do internet stuff, but you mainly need it for, you know, your writing and just all of your business stuff, emails. You wouldn't get a computer that has a kick-ass video and graphics card if you were editing, say, movies or videos. So everything is made to accommodate specific needs. And that's why there's certain phones that, you know, quote unquote suck ass, but it's kind of like, you know, phones are a necessary evil and not everybody can afford really good phones. So worst case scenario, you've got a phone, you make phone calls. I remember texting when that first came out, that was like, if you weren't texting, blah, blah, I was like, I was against texting, honestly.
I'm still not texting. I still don't.
Yeah. I usually get on late in the bandwagon, like even Twitter and Facebook. I was like, whatever, I have my MySpace. I can make it pretty because it was more of like the art thing. And then I lost a bet, so I had to sign up for a Facebook account. And then I'm just, you know, kind of here. And then Twitter, I was like, Twitter, psh, that's stupid. Say like, you know, 100 characters or whatever it is. And so I was the same with texting. So I was like, why are you typing to someone instead of just like talking? But then you get into like college where you're different things. So you're sitting in class and just kind of like, oh my God, this is so boring. And you're next, you know, so.
Well, I mean, I'm even guilty of this. I did this on a Geek Juice show not too long ago. There's a heavy metal band from the late 70s called Angel Witch. They haven't made an album since the early 80s, and they came out with a new album this year. and their official webpage is their MySpace page. And I was making fun of, really? You're going to tout your new album on MySpace? So I'm
There's
even guilty
some
of that.
People that still do MySpace.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm guilty of that. That I made fun of them on the air for, and maybe I'm trying to justify here. To me, you're a rock band on a label. How do you not have an actual official webpage?
Like, how do you not have this? Everybody and their mom on Facebook. It's like, people know who I am. I don't need to be on fucking Facebook to be like, hey, fans.
So I'm just saying, I'm guilty of it too.
Facebook has evolved so much from when it was first created, even the intention it was created for.
Fuck timeline. And I'm so sick of
how
that
many
timeline
of you,
got me.
How many of you get so irritated with Facebook? Admit it, you do. I sound like I'm going in for like a pitch, be like, are you tired of Facebook? I sit there and it's like cuts to the black and white person ripping out their hair.
How much has MySpace paid you, Jillian, for this plug?
Well, for some reason they renamed it Jill Space. And so there's no affiliation whatsoever, but www.myspace.com. But what I'm saying is with Facebook, with all of the stuff that's out there and just how everything gets spammed, you've got, you know, the 50,000 app requests and everything. So if you've got a small group of people and you just keep in touch on MySpace, you do what works for you. If someone had, oh, well, check out my new artwork. I'm on MySpace. And I'm like, well, do you have a DeviantArt page? No, I just post on MySpace. I wouldn't be like, you don't have a DeviantArt page or Facebook. I'd be like, cool, I'll check it out. It took me forever and a half to make a DeviantArt page, and people made fun of me for that. And I was like, dude, I don't do stuff that often. And comparative to a lot of the really good artists that are on there, it's like, I don't, you know, it's like, I just post it in a folder on my Facebook. I don't really need, unless I'm trying to sell something or have you. So I created one, but I haven't put anything in it. It was mainly so I could look up things and comment on my friend's stuff that was up there. So
see, to me, when I went to go email somebody or message somebody on MySpace, it's somebody that their official contact, it was a movie director, their official contact is still their MySpace page. I had actually forgotten my password. It had been so long since I'd logged into MySpace. I don't even remember what my password was anymore. Shit. Or you could always go to the retard version, Google Plus. Jillian, you and I need to start the revolution to reset and reboot MySpace.
We can make JSpace. It makes me think of LSpace from Discworld, which is completely unrelated, but that's where my nerd brain went. It's a really good game.
We could get Cassandra Baker to make it, and then it could be affiliated with thecinemasnob.com and Geek Juice Media.
And Letter to Gamers, which is non-existent yet, but it's in the works. For those of you been wondering, I'll make that a little official announcement here with the moving and everything going on, because I'm not being self-serving here, but I do get a lot of messages still, and I try and respond to them all. With starting my own site and my own content, it is getting back into production. It's just with all of the stuff that's happened over the last few months and me moving, I kind of just completely halted that. So starting November, I'm getting back into it. It's going to take me a bit to feel out the kinks, because it's my first go at, you know, doing everything myself. So
if you want to see what she's been doing in the meantime, you can go to geekjuicemedia.com and look up the antisocial commentary episode for Jersey Shore Shark Attack, where she guest starred.
Yes, I think it's 54. And then, if this is a secret or not, I don't think it is. No, because he said it on air, but Alex and I are going to team up again in December for another crossover on something unbeknownst to you guys.
We're going to leave it off there. We'll go to Heart Attack, and then Jillian and I will come back, and it's unavoidable. We have to talk about the election.
Guys, don't move to Canada.
Hey, you guys. Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right. It's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code horror. That's right. Use the code horror, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Sig. And that's THESAFECIG.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get you 20% off. Don't forget to use your code horror.
Well, motherfuckers, I survived my 9th wedding anniversary, survived my stint on the Gary Garver show on the GoCast network. That was fun. And right now, well, time to pour myself a Jack and Coke and get into a little bit of a heart attack. You ready for some heart attack, Josh?
This is the last episode prior to the election. So, yeah, I have a feeling we're going to have a heart attack. And if you hear some mumbling noises in the background, Scott Murray's here, too.
Oh, fantastic. Scott, good to hear that you're around. I can't wait to be on your show next. You know, I really enjoyed the last time I was on.
Last episode before the election. What do you got to say?
Well, you know, yesterday they asked us, who are you voting for? Straight up. And I'll tell you guys, straight up, I'm going to vote for Obama. I'm going to tell you why. I'm voting for Obama purely because I feel like I'm in a position of choosing between the lesser of two evils. And flat out, what I understand about Mitt Romney, and it's real easy to figure out what people are going to do when they become president. When you look at the history of Mitt Romney, he has a history of being a bust-out king. Now, if you don't know what that means, here's how Romney has made his money. Have any of you guys out there listening seen Casino, the mob film with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci? And in that film, they do a thing called the bust out, where a business that's in a difficult strait decides to become partners with the mob, and that's a big mistake, because what do these guys do? They bust out the business. Namely, they run up the credit, they get their credit, and they go and they buy a lot of stuff, and they run the business into the ground, and they drive up its debt, and then they dump it, a pump and dump. They dump the company that's destroyed with debt that no one can collect on. Romney's specialty is repackaging a failed business, lying, and making it look like they're good at making a dog look like a duck and saying, look at this duck, it's great. It's ridiculous, these guys. They go from company to company, and they make it look like it's doing good. They make it look like, I don't know, the Stage Stores. The Stage Stores were a company that Bain was involved with, and by the time they were done, well, you know, Bain walked out of there with a lot of money, something like $175 million. In Stage Stores Incorporated, you know what they did? Bankrupt. Everybody that ever worked for them, they lost their job. In fact, that's a big part of what Romney does, is he pumps up these companies, runs up the debt, and then just dumps it. And fuck all those people who work there. He doesn't care. Bain costs jobs. Bain doesn't actually create anything. And who is behind Bain? Romney. Romney's whole thing is bust it out, run up the debt, walk away. They want to do that to this country, guys. That's the whole point. If Romney really believed he was a good man, and he was the great man, and he really was going to be president, they wouldn't be pulling these dirty, underhanded tricks with making it so that in certain swing states, poor black people can't vote, poor people can't vote, poor white people can't vote, elderly people can't vote. Hell, war veterans that have voted their entire life are being denied their American right to vote by Mitt Romney and his cronies. And number two, if they really believed in what they were doing, would they need to buy the election with anonymous donors? We're talking about secret money. And here's the thing, guys. We don't even know if that money's coming from America. There was a donation here in California of $11 million from this super PAC in Arizona. And it was for a statewide election. Well, in California, you have to say who your donors are in state elections. They don't want to do that. This money could be coming from North Korea. This money in these elections, guys, could be coming from fucking Putin in Russia. This shit could be coming from China. We don't know, and that's a big problem, and we got to change that fact. We really got to change that. Now, why am I voting for Obama when I'm so disappointed in him on all the things he's done with indefinite detention, extending the Patriot Act? Well, it's very simple, folks. I'm choosing the lesser of two evils here. I know if Romney gets into office, we are all in real trouble. All us little guys are in trouble because Romney's a bully at the end of the day. He's not tough. He's not a leader. He's a bottom feeder and a bully. At the end of the day, that's the real reason that I have to say I'm going to vote for Obama, is because the other guy in this election is a bully and a bottom feeder, and he's a guy who's going to run this country into the damn ground. That's his plan. And they hate poor people. They hate people that aren't super wealthy. They flat out do. We've heard the secret audio tapes leaked. We've all heard these things. The thing I want to carve out the most, though, is as we head into Election Day, it's very, very important for everybody to vote for all your representatives. We need to vote for our Senate representatives, our the House, you know, your state representatives in your state. You need to vote for your local mayor. All these things are really important in our governance. We have a police force that has been allowed to lie to people and arrest people at will with these illegal stop and frisk things. Well, guys, if we paid more attention to the lawmakers who control the police, perhaps they would be looking out for us a little bit more. When I see to serve and protect, I think they're supposed to serve and protect us, the citizens. That's the whole point. And that's the whole point of these politicians. They're supposed to be here to service us. We, the people, are supposed to be representing us. Well, if we don't play the game, they're going to represent whatever the fuck they feel like representing.
Which is the almighty dollar. The Romney campaign in Wisconsin is subtly telling the people running the voting centers on Tuesday misinformation about voters' rights and what they can and cannot do. So
yeah, it's really disgusting and pathetic. If that guy had any security, if Romney had real balls, he wouldn't need these dirty tricks. He needs the dirty tricks because he's a lie. The man's a lie. He's a flip-flopper. What was the whole big thing with Bush and Kerry? Flip-flopper, flip-flopper. What the fuck is this Romney guy? This guy Romney will say or do anything to get your vote. He's your typical baby-kissing politician with one finger up your ass, his other finger in your wallet, and his tongue down your wife's throat. That's who this fucking guy is.
I forget which exactly East Coast senator said it, but one of the East Coast senators said, whether you're a far-left liberal, someone in the middle, or a far-right conservative, or even just somebody who leans one way or another, you really should support Romney because at one point or another, he has been on your side.
He's on nobody's side. That's the key. He's a liar. He's the devil.
The way I heard it, a comedian put it was, if Donald Trump wants Obama to release his birth certificate, which he already has, why doesn't he want Romney to release his tax returns?
Because we all know Romney cheats on his taxes. We all know that Romney's not paying his fair share. And he wants to continue to get in there. And the reason all this anonymous money is being donated is because he's bought and paid for, guys. That's a man with a mission. He's going to get into office, and he's going to reward those wealthy donors. He is going to work for the people that pay him. That's what Romney's going to do. And it's going to be ugly, guys. So I'm really hoping that Obama stays in. I really believe in his second term. I think all bets are off. Who knows what the fuck, you know, what kind of stuff he can get into, because your second term as president is when actually kind of you have the most power.
Because you got nothing
to
lose.
You aren't bound with the idea of trying to run again. Well, you know, guys, we've been talking a lot of politics, and we talk about the seriousness of this, and I wanted to say, all those people on the East Coast, my thoughts are with you. I've been seeing some of these photos of the devastation. It's pretty intense, man. I really wish you guys the best. I hope that our government is helping you out. If you can get internet service and you guys want to take a break, you can watch American Horrors. As far as I saw today, we're still free. We're still free as of today. Otherwise, you could subscribe for as little as $1.95 at filmon.com. That's FILMON.com, and you can subscribe today. Otherwise, I really wish those people on the East Coast the best, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Tony from Eddie Brandt's Matinee. He's been fighting cancer, and I'm rooting for you, Tony. I just watched all your movies, and you rock, dude. So I hope everybody is safe this weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. You got a
hunch. The Kinky Coaches and the Pom-Pom Pussycats is an important motion picture. Do not let this title fool you. Not since Gone with the Wind has a film provided an audience with more compassion, more drama, more production value. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. However, if you thought Animal House was fun, you'll love The Kinky Coaches and the Pom-Pom Pussycats. Rated R for obvious reasons.
All right, Jillian, this will be the last episode that airs before we find out whether we retain our current president, who I'm not happy with, or we have a new president who I won't be happy with. There's no way we can't not talk about the election. And I know you're sick of talking about politics and Romney and Obama.
It's not going to stop. I mean, it's like even after the election, there's going to be all of this. I feel like we're going to be talking about this shit forever. It really feels like it. And through this whole year, a good portion of this year, it's been, you know, the new laws and the stuff that they're trying to change. And it's just been the same, you know, meat with different gravy on top. Like, I don't know how many times where it's like, I don't know what to say, man. It's just,
but we
this
can't
is
ignore
dumb
it.
As well.
But we can't ignore this.
Oh, no, I know.
One of the things that I'm proud that this show does is we bring some of this stuff to light. I get emails all the time about people that, you know, such and such event, I hadn't even heard of this until you guys started talking about it. So it might be reiterating to us because we're seeing it all the time, but we are also exposing the light on some of this crap to the listeners.
Things haven't changed under Obama, and I saw, like, this ad on a video that was for some independent film done by these people interviewing others who were Obama supporters. And they're like, I want someone to help, you know, feed my kids and send them to college and this and that. And it's like, you know, I see him do these promo things. It's like, I don't want him a show, which, you know, that I can understand, but like visiting places, he needs to be behind his desk. And it's like, really, do you stay behind your desk 24/7? It's like, you know, the president deserves vacations too. However, a lot of people don't realize the blackballing that's been going on, and that's what makes me really just like sad.
Yes,
and it's
obstructionist
because
Congress.
Hasn't had the opportunity. And I mean, I'm not anything I'm saying, please take it with a grain of salt. I'm not speaking in definitives. So when I'm talking about this blackballing, I'm not saying that's, you know, that's the only reason Obama has blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm well aware things are not perfect on both sides. I don't know. The reason why we've been hating on Republicans so much and not, again, not all just the ones that we've been talking about is because they're the ones that were trying to pass these laws saying certain things. And it's just, it's really disgusting. It's no secret that I'm an Obama supporter. And honestly, I don't know if things would change that much, even if he does stay in office, because of, you know, the majority of the Republicans in the Congress and Senate that have been pulling this since they got in there.
If he gets back into office, the thing that will decide whether he actually can get something done is whether the Democrats retake the House and the Senate or not, because that right. obstructionist Congress is the reason he has not been able to get anything done. They have stood in his way every step of his presidency, and then they have the balls to go, he's not getting anything done.
Yeah.
That's the thing that pisses me off. This is my biggest problem with Obama. And now maybe he's changed, you know, maybe he's seen that he's not going to be able to play with these people anymore. For the first two and a half years of his presidency, he kept trying to play with them. Well, I'll meet them halfway. You know, Congress wants this, I want this, I'll meet them halfway. And Congress goes, no, our way or the highway. And he kept trying to play nice. He was like, he was so infatuated with being liked that he stopped trying to be a president. I want, and I'm not trying to make like a 70s blaxploitation analogy, I want him to come out like a hard-hitting motherfucker and just come out and go, no, I'm the goddamn president. You don't back me. And we'll see what happens in two fucking years, goddammit. That's the president I thought I was getting, and that's not the president
but
I got.
Again, though, the president can't come out and say, nope, guys, this is what I want, you're going to pass it. So pandering and being like, I'll meet you halfway, it's kind of one of those, you want to go somewhere, and your friend's with you. And they're like, dude, I really don't want to go there. And be like, well, okay, well, you wanted to do this, so if we go to my place, then we'll go and do the thing you want to do. They're like, okay. So it's all compromise, which I have no problem with. The point is they were so unwilling for any type of compromise on important things to actually, they essentially rigged it in a way to where it's looking like he's not trying to get anything done. And of course, the way Fox News and some other places are reporting and things being said, it's seriously looking like he wasn't trying when he got blackballed every step of the way. So for a president to come out and be like, nope, we're passing, this is what we're doing, it's not going to happen. It's just going to be the stalemate. So to me, I think that's you know, admirable that he would come out and be like, okay, well, look, you guys really want this, then we need to do this. And honestly, that's how a unit should work. It's not perfect, obviously, because you have things that people want that maybe aren't the best, but to just blackball someone completely and then spin it to where, see, he said he would do this, but he didn't. Well, that's because you wouldn't pass what he was trying to pass to change it. And people don't realize that. And seeing that ad that I talked about earlier with these uninformed people. And so, you know, their real opinions and real voices, you know, I mean, they were real people. They didn't get Richie McGee or, you know, Joe Schmo who doesn't know anything. These are real people with real families and real concerns, but they aren't informed on the aspect of why things that he said that he was going to change haven't been done yet. And that's what breaks my heart. And that's what makes me so worried about this election is because of just all of the dirty underhandedness going around. And I know it's been around in politics forever and a half, but I think at least in my lifetime of what I can remember, this is the worst it's ever been.
Oh, absolutely. But then you also have the thing that the Republicans hate Obama so much that things that they were for, when he says, I'm for that too, then all of a sudden they're against them. I can count a dozen different times in the last 4 years that the Republican, both the House and the Senate, have been, we need to do this, we need to do this. Obama said, you know what, you're right, I back that. All of a sudden, the House Speaker would be like, no, this is a bad idea. If Obama's for it, that means it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's the kind of obstructionist bullshit. Because the Republican strategy, and Fox News almost outright admitted this. They had, it was like a brain fart, but it was live TV, so people copied it.
Party and slip.
Yeah. They had Republican pundits, people that worked, you know, high offices of the Republican Party, possibly even the head of the RNC. I can't remember because this was like 2-3 years ago. Their basic strategy was, we are going to tank the country so bad and go for 4 years of an awful, awful country. So there's no chance Obama will get reelected, then we can totally retake power and fix all the mistakes we made.
Somebody said, and I can't remember who it was, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, so I'm not saying that this is exactly what they said. It was something along our number one priority is to get Obama out of office. Collective number one priority, not to fix the country, not to do what have you. It was just our number one priority is we have to get Obama out of office. And maybe, I think it was most likely said in respect to, like, you know, this is our number one priority, people. We're going to change things, get him out of office. But at the same time, it was kind of a double-edged sword where it's like, well, yeah, we realize that's your number one priority because you're not doing anything to work on anything else. And it just makes me sick because, again, the mudslinging that's going on saying, oh, well, he said we were going to have change and we didn't. They're the ones causing it. And then these are the people that want to take over office and manipulate things. I am not by any means biased against any religion whatsoever, but I do not believe religion belongs in politics. If you want to have your religious beliefs, fine. You can't force those on the people. And I'm not talking abortion. I'm not talking anything like that, but just like the aspect of we need to put God back into the country and just, you know, some of the asinine things that the Tea Party and these people that are all, it's all interworked. You might say, be like, oh, well, that's just Tea Party. It's like these people, they swing together and they all have influence on each other. And these are the values they're wanting to instill.
Okay, Jillian, what it comes down to is Bill Maher summed it up perfectly this last week, that look at the last 3.5 years compared to the previous 8 years. In the previous 8 years, when you had a religious nut as a president, and yes, that's what he was. This is a man who said publicly in his first year, God wanted him to be president to bring about the end of the world. Okay? That's a religious nut, and he got elected. During the Bush era, you were constantly having senators or mayors and governors trying to put the Ten Commandments into courthouses, trying to put Bibles in schools, trying to discount science in place of religion. Have you seen that in the last 3.5 years? Very rarely. Why? You don't have a right-wing Christian loon in charge. If you elect Romney, you will have that. It'll be worse than Bush. One of the big misconceptions that people have, and they bring this up, even left-wing radio brings this up when it's dealing with a Christian issue. They keep bringing up this, we're a Christian nation, we were founded on Christian values. No, we were not! There's a reason that in the Constitution, church and state were kept separate. The framers of the Constitution ran from England because they saw acts of theocratic horror that would have made an IMAX George Romero movie look rated G. They knew you cannot bring that theocracy into governance. It will not work.
because they're taking the one nation under God and they're looking at that and being like, oh, see, and it's the same with you have certain religious groups who will pick and choose from the Bible. All right. There's something that we didn't talk about yet, and I want to talk about it on the show, but it hasn't fit in. And I wish we could play it. But essentially, you know, the election, and there's this Christian pastor. He says who he is. It's like this big, you know, court area. And he's quoting things, and he's saying an abomination, and this homing the country. And there was so much more to it. And he's going on, and he's continuing his speech. And he's like, oh, I've brought the wrong notes. This is actually statements from congressmen back in the 1950s regarding to African Americans and segregation integration. He was like, so this is just completely wrong. And, you know, we change with the times, and I hope you won't make the same mistake. Homosexuality, for an example. And it's like, if you're going to take that quote, you know, you can't eat shellfish. Women were not allowed to like leave the bathtub while they were on their cycle or something like that. It's just really insane. So you're taking things from times of old, but you're picking and choosing what you will still apply. And so to tell people, and by taking that under God and be like, well, no, see, it's one nation under God, so we have to put, you know, religion and everything. It's like you're actually on the verge of persecuting the nation for not being what religion you want. And it just doesn't make sense. And there are so many, it's gotten so bad with people that are just like, nope, I want this. And everybody is believing what they hear, and they'll hear mudslinging about Obama. And I'm using this as an example because there's a lot of stuff being said about Obama that isn't true via either Fox News or other politicians, what have you, that people are eating up because
it's what they want to hear.
They aren't
what they
informed
want to hear.
Otherwise. Yeah. Well, and people do word of mouth. I mean, that's how gossip happens. You hear, you know, your friend says, oh my God, did you hear, you know, Obama such a what? Oh my God, that's crazy. That pisses me off. And so you're hearing things word of mouth that may or may not be true. And again, the guy's not perfect. The country's not perfect. The election scares me because the facts are not out there for those who, and I mean, I'll admit, I don't sit there and research every single little thing. We've been on the show before. I was like, well, I've heard this one thing and I'm not sure, but you know, this is going around. The Republicans right now, poor Republicans that are trying to do this and just churn the country into, you know, we're going to do this and this and this. And even like the quote unquote, you know, war on women, the whole birth control thing, and it's like, you know, uber Christians, they're like, they don't believe in birth control. It's like that it's not killing the fetus. Deterring abortion that you also don't want just means you don't get pregnant. And I, aside from the whole like, oh, government should pay for it, blah, 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 it's like, that's not even the issue. The issue of just saying like not making it available is completely asinine. You wouldn't get pregnant during rape unless it's God's will, and that there is no real rape that your body will shut down. I am scared because you hear both ways and people are like, oh, Romney's not going to get elected or blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? When it's already been said, we are going to get Obama out of office. This is our priority. Like when things like that are being thrown about, and then suddenly companies in good with the presidential candidates start buying electronic voting booths, like what, a couple weeks before the election. That
yeah,
makes
it's
me nervous.
Scary.
It does.
It's scary. I heard this next bit on the Gary Garver show. Do you want to know how fucked up this country could actually be? Because certain pundits are saying that this race is so close, this actually is a possibility. There is a weird eventuality that could happen. If there is a dead even tie in the Electoral College, do you know who would then decide who the president and vice president are?
Congress?
Each part of Congress. The House would pick the president, and the Senate would pick the vice president. So theoretically, you could have Romney be president and Joe Biden be vice president. You could have a Republican president and a Democratic vice president, in theory.
That would be interesting.
Now, how fucked up would that be if that actually would ever happen? It's never happened before, but it could. There are two issues I want to address. There's also the racism angle. You cannot deny it with, and I'm sure officially Romney and Ryan are not supporting this slogan, but there is a whole slew of Romney Ryan 2012 t-shirts that on
the back of the White House.
Yes. Put the white back in the White House. That right there, that's scary. And you know what? And yet I'm not accusing them of endorsing that. I'm accusing them of not denouncing it. They have not come out and said, we think that is a vile slogan and we don't want that on our t-shirts. Romney just sits back and kind of, well, If it'll sway votes, okay. But see, here's the problem with Romney. This is what he did before he was president. Bain Capital, they were a bust-out group. What they would do is they would buy a corporation. They would jack up its assets, loading it up with debt, and then they would sell it off, leaving the debt to the company and all the debtors, and they would make a mint. And that's what they did. That's what Romney will do to this country. He will bust it out. Romney, this is what I don't get about these political commercials, Jay, like the one you pointed out about how, you know, I just need to feed my family and Romney's the man for that. No, he's not. Romney doesn't give a shit about poor people. He doesn't give a fuck.
Obama said change and there's no change. And they just like, you know, it's essentially people's perspective of, well, my life hasn't gotten any better. It's like, well, you know what? I went through a lot of shit this year. I'm not blaming Obama, you know, and I was a little taken aback by like, I need somebody to feed my kids and send them to college. It's like, yeah, college is expensive, but I don't.
That's not going to happen
under
Romney.
Government spending should spend like the, you know, pay for everybody to go to college. That's not going to happen. It was like, that was really off key, but they're putting words in there. So people were like, yeah, yeah. And it's just really like, I want to hear like these people when they say things, I really want to hear both sides. It's like, okay, how do you think it's going to change? You know, it's like, I want to sit these people down and be like, how do you think that it's going to get better with Romney? When they say and be like, well, do you realize this? And I'll bet you every one of them would be like, what? I didn't hear that.
Like I said, I'm not happy with Obama. You know, you're an Obama backer. I just think he's the lesser of two evils. But since we got to leave this and then we'll see what happens next week.
I hope you guys registered to vote. If you didn't, there's nothing you can do about it now, but please go and vote and be like, okay, what country do I want to live under? Do I want Obama as a president? Do I want Romney? And I was at a party and people were talking politics, of course. It's like, I can't escape it. And I'm just like, somebody said they weren't going to vote. And I was like, then you have no right to complain if something happens because you did not even vote. And people do that all the time. They're like, this fucking country, fucking Obama, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, did you vote? I'm like, no. It's like, well, what does it matter? You know, it's like you didn't care enough to fucking vote. And it's like, even if you are dead set on being a Romney supporter and you're like, well, I think I'd vote for Romney. That's fine. I'm not saying, you know, go out and vote only if you're voting for Obama, but it's so important. People take it for granted.
Well, Jillian, if people want to follow you, where can they find the Double D's of Justice?
I'm on Twitter as the Mistress J, Facebook, Jillian Zarowski. I'm not a contributor yet, but there is a forum on Geek Juice Media that I am under since I do crossovers and I'm on the podcasts. I pop up on Mentalcast and Geek Juice every once in a while. And I am also on thecinemasnob.com. I'm adding to my list because you've got 50,000 things and I'm just like Facebook and Twitter.
You can contact me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, my weekly column on Geek Juice Media, Sanity is Razor Thin, my monthly column in Scene Magazine, if you're in the Green Bay area, The Shadows of Pop Culture. So I'm going to say Jillian might not be long for this country if Romney wins.
I'm like, I wonder if I can move on grounds of like political refugee.
So why don't decisions before it's too late. Take all your chances, take all of the wind. A roll of the dice, a head of the game again. Nothing to lose, but so much to gain. A little danger, it goes without saying. But what do you care? You're gonna go in the end. Get over to heaven. Is ready. Worth saving, so why don't you go? Just leave well alone. Don't you think I'm a savior? Don't you think I could save you? Don't you think I could save your life? Don't you think I'm a savior? Don't you think I could save you? Don't you think I could save your life? Don't you think I'm a savior? Don't you think I could save you? Don't you think I could save your life? Don't you think I could save your life?
crossroads. You know where you're going. And what if you wait? It may be too late. Don't you think I'm a savior? Don't you think I can save you?
Don't you think?